Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Impacting Life 24/7. I'm your host, CL King, coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. You say, what's wrong, CL? You okay? Nah, man, I am war slam out. I'm so tired. I can't even see straight. What's up, VP? EP? The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Smith, the man responsible for helping put this show together. Yeah, man, I'm tired, y'all, man. This past weekend, we did the unenviable task of attempting to pressure wash. Oh, it started out with pressure washing our deck. Okay, hey, man, you know, you bought this ranch, you might as well now do some things to spruce it up a little bit, put your fingerprints on it. I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm down. Whose crazy idea was that? So go get a pressure washer and go, you know, try to go the economic way and rent it from a particular place. No, brother, I'm crushing it now. Once you go live, there ain't no rerun. I thought about that. I actually really did. And there's a way to do it where you could still appear live. But, man, this is what you pay me for, brother. So anyway, I went to rent a power pressure washer from a place that will remain nameless. And the pressure washer first try came back to the house and it squirted out with less power than a water fountain. So I'm like, man, I got all set up. You know how it is, man. You're all ready to go. You're ready to rock and roll. And no dice. So I took it back to this institution that will remain, again, nameless. And tried to get... Ooh, I said, that's the forbidden word. Tried to get another one. And they had to, out of their inventory, their stockpile, they had probably about 5 or 6 or 7 pressure washers. And they got down to the very last one attempting to give me one that was actually functional. I'm like, why me? So I get this thing back to the house and it all is novel. It's all great when you first start. Oh man, look, it's getting all the oxidation and greenness and algae off the deck. Until you realize that it's like the deck is like 900,000 square feet, seems like. And then, you know, well, you know, we want to get our driveway done, so might as well do that. And then the sidewalk, and then the front of the house. And now for those of you seeing me live, my hands are like arthritic. I can barely move them. And so, again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. Again, I would like for you to connect with us. There's a next step involved in all of this, and that next step is for you to connect with us. I want you to go to clkingspeaker.com and just click on the podcast tab, and you can connect with us there. You can subscribe to our podcast at Impacting Life 247.podbean.com. You can go there. You can go onto Spotify. You can look up Impacting Life 247, and you'll find me there. So those of you listening to our podcast here in America and around the world, we thank you. We would ask tonight that you would do one thing, and that is type, if you listen to this show or if you listen to the replay or whatever, we would love for you to type this phrase in the chat, okay? I don't usually ask you guys to do a lot because that's what they pay me for. But we would like for you to type this phrase. We can disagree and still be friends. I'd like for you to type that. If you're listening to us or you're watching us live or you're watching the replay in our live capacity, those of you that are listening on the podcast, obviously you cannot do that, but we would love for you to type that. We can disagree and still be friends. Do you guys realize that disagreement is becoming a lost art? It's actually becoming a strange phenomena where people cannot have differences or differences of opinion and still coexist. You know, I feel maybe that's what's also wearing me out, folks, is, you know, as a motivational speaker, professional podcast host, you are expected to come to this illustrious microphone every single night that your show is on, and you're supposed to deliver high octane, high energy dynamics, because this is part entertainment, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. It's part entertainment. In particular, for those of you listening on our podcast, impactinglife247.podbean.com, it is part entertainment because you're listening to content so that you can garner, glean some information, but also it needs to be palatable. And you're not eating it, you're digesting it through your ears. So it's got to be palatable to your ears, to your ear canal. And so you've got to be entertaining, you've got to be uplifting, you've got to be edifying, you've got to be something that someone would want to listen to. It's like I was watching a clip of a pastor today. It was actually kind of comical. You know, this pastor probably get ran out of town in most churches now because you can't ever tell anybody anything anymore. But he told the choir was getting ready to start singing. And he stopped the music, he stopped the organ, he stopped the choir. And this was an older pastor, so he was obviously seasoned. And he's like, you know, listen, I appreciate what y'all doing, but you can't keep having somebody pipe up to try to sing a solo that can't sing. And I was just like, well. So he was even saying, even in church, we need to be giving our best. And in this arena that I'm in, it's in particular important for people for us to deliver our best. But what makes me so weary, not just because I had to pressure wash 95,000 square feet of driveway and another 1,000 square feet of deck, That this past weekend, that's not what really has me exhausted. What really has me exhausted, ladies and gentlemen, is our inability as a human race, in particular the American people, to be able to have differences of opinions and even perhaps ideologies. I know that word is now the new buzzword for you're radicalized if you have ideals. It is wearing me out because it's just like, man, it is a 24/7 news cycle of everyone trying to be right. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news cycle of everyone trying to be right. We have made the grandiose mistake of thinking that no one else can have a position different than ours, and we still be able to cohabitate and even collaborate. Imagine that. And so tonight's show, I really wanted to discuss that, especially leading up to next Monday night. As you guys know, you may have seen it on our advertisement, but we're doing a show where I'm going to have a panel discussion with 6 other folks with me, where we're going to discuss the very real and very tangible and realistic topic of race in America and racism in particular. Now, when you do that, when you have this conversation, you run the risk of alienating people because some people say, well, I'm not a racist. Well, I'm not either. It can lend itself to, okay, now you're going to have a discussion and it's going to further divide us. You know, some of you won't tune in because you already have a preconceived idea of what the conversation is going to be about. And Greg and I are very mindful. When we started this business a long time ago, long before any of you were around, when Greg and I started this business, we built it around a four-letter word, L-I-F-E. We didn't build our model around a particular type of life. We built it around life. We believe that all life is sacred and precious, and it is our mission and mandate and purpose for even forming the CL King Group Incorporated to impact one life, one day at a time. And so next Monday, which is Monday, October the 12th, I do believe that's Monday, October the 12th, right here on Impacting Life at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have a discussion about that. And it's not a discussion to alienate you if you're white. It's not a discussion to infuriate you if you're black. It's not a discussion to pander to you if you're Latino. No. It's a discussion that we felt like, and when it was presented to me and Greg, we felt like this was something that was okay for us to discuss because we're mature adults. Greg and I have talked about everything under the sun relative to bullying and planning for the future and overcoming adversity and abuse and on and on and on. Man, we've covered every topic you can think of. And what we don't want to do on this platform, obviously this platform for our podcast serves a couple purposes. The one purpose is for us to open up doors for other people to elevate their platforms. But then the second is to, if this is called Impacting Life 24/7, then why don't we talk about the things that are impacting lives? I have some amazing guests on this show. I have some amazing folks that Greg does a fantastic job. I mean, a top shelf. Greg should be paid $100,000 a year for, you know how hard it is to book things and book events. And yeah, gangs, that's correct, Greg. Gary, I forgot about that way, way back in the days. You know how hard it is to book people for a show, let alone get it done week to week. Greg has it done for the rest of the year, and he had it done way back in the summer. So I'm blessed to have someone like that. And we could easily just put our head in the sand and continue on with our space. And that's what we tend to do. We don't tend to dabble into areas that are, me being the spokesperson of the crew, I don't tend to dabble into areas that are not my niche or not my genre or not my skill set. If I'm not comfortable or versed in a topic, you're not going to hear me out here ranting and raving about it because I don't know nothing about it. But I do know from what I've seen, and I know that this country, I think we all are just tired. I think we are all just weary of the tension, even with, you know, yard signs. I put that out right before the show, a couple hours before the show. You know, there was a black lady that's voting for Biden and a white lady voting for Trump, and they're sitting in the yard with their perspective signs, and they're just smiling and having themselves a good time talking to each other as sisters. And it's like, wow, the art of having different viewpoints, you can discuss it, you can debate it, but it shouldn't become destructive. And so I did a little bit of research on this, and someone else helped me with the research, which was great because I've had this in my saddle for a while. I went to Inc.com and looked at this because it really spoke volumes to me. Six smart ways, and I'm just sharing this with you, and I always like to, we always like to capture and package things appropriately. This is by Kate, I think her name is Bugard. Six smart ways or six kind ways to disagree with someone, but to do it respectfully. Six ways to disagree with someone respectfully. You know, we are living in a time where this new phrase, I did not hear this in the Marine Corps, but we did hear this, I do hear this phrase so often now that we can agree to do what? We can agree to disagree. you hear that phrase now where people are saying, you know, hey, we can agree to disagree. And that's okay. And that's cool, and that's catchy. But man, people aren't feeling that. People aren't really living that. They're not really living, okay, we can disagree. Or we can agree that we won't get anywhere with this and still be friends. You know, what a great world it would be, ladies and gentlemen. What an amazing world it would be if we all agreed on absolutely everything. I don't know. I think the world would be kind of boring. But what a world it would be. But as I'm sure you guys already know, we are living in a time where disagreements are reality. And agreeing on everything is not a reality. We all have our own thoughts, our opinions, our values. We've got everything, nestled into our perspective, the way we were raised, the way the people that we hang around, the influences, the stuff we watch. So this means disagreement can be pretty common, especially in a workplace or when you're talking about a particular topic. Or when you are debating someone and it goes south. You know, disagreement is a reality. So, you know, if you're joining us tonight, welcome to Impact Life 24/7. If you're watching our live show, I'd love for you to type in the chat box, we can disagree and still get along. We can disagree and still get along and still be friends. Type that, because that is really the heartbeat of the pathway that Greg and I are on. You know, there's a big difference between just disagreeing and disagreeing respectfully. The first will likely cause some feelings to get hurt. The first will likely cause some feelings to get hurt and add fuel to an already tense and heated fire. A pastor told me this some time ago, and we still discuss this with our kids. You carry to a fire two things. You carry two buckets. One is a bucket full of water, and one is a bucket full of gas. And you choose what you're going to douse it with. So, you know, you're going to have hurt feelings, and you got to choose. Unfortunately, it's all too easy to get wrapped up in your own beliefs that are all common, you know, and then when you get wrapped up in your beliefs, common courtesy goes out the window. Y'all know that when you get wrapped up in your beliefs, everything else is gone. That's it. So I think it's very, very important that I think sometimes we need to pause. I want to move on from topics that are so vitriolic and so tension filled and so aggressive, but you know, Tawana, I agree with you. We can disagree and still get along. I that's what I want. That's what my heartbeat is. And so we got to focus when you're doing this. Step number one is you got to focus on facts. A strong argument is one that uses facts over opinion. You know, and that can be sometimes interpreted. Okay, do you have the facts or do I have the facts? But it can be difficult to remember that when you're in the middle of a disagreement, when you're like throwing down and your weave coming out, you're taking your heels off, your earrings out, man, you ain't in a disagreement, you in destruction. Somebody about to get destroyed. You know, however, a respectful, not to mention compelling disagreement is one that prioritizes logic over emotions. And me being a passionate person, ladies and gentlemen, I struggle with that. I struggle with keeping my emotions in check. In college, they called it emoting. I never knew what that meant. But I have a tendency. I'm high strung. I'm high energy. I'm high intensity. I would just soon jump off the stage with my hair on fire. It's just the way I'm made. But when you start talking about putting an emphasis on logic over emotions, that's the can of water or the can of gasoline. So don't forget to place your emphasis on the reasoning and information supporting your disagreement. Why? You know, I've been talking to my kids about this. They're in a generation, this generation, the next one that, I mean, that are my kids, you know, the high school age kids, man, they are living in a time, really all school age kids, but they are living in a time that will probably go down in history as one of the most, we can't even put a descriptive word on it. This will be one for the ages, in my opinion. Because they are seeing so many dynamics. They're seeing, I mean, every continent on the earth besides Antarctica had people protesting relative to the things that we saw with George Floyd this past summer. And, you know, the kids saw that. They saw COVID-19 enter into the new year. They saw hurricanes come into the Gulf Coast. They saw fires out in California all at the same time. And then they said, oh, yeah, by the way, y'all need to go to school on a laptop. 2020 is the and we have to be mindful of this, y'all, that, OK, all of us are in a different space in life. You know, we talk about walking by faith, but we're being forced to live what we have preached for so long that may have been intangible. Not only will doing this, focusing on the facts, make you much more convincing if you're trying to have any type of educational debate, but it also make it clear why this isn't personal. And that is what grinds my gears, is when people make things personal. Danny, you know, brother, because of my medical past and my memory is like it is, there's a form of debate that we like to engage in, or we like to reference. Could you put that definition up? I can't even remember the name of it, brother. That's because I'm so tired from the pressure washing trip. Don't get personal. That's step number two. I would say don't get personal. Speaking of getting personal, you know, that's what you don't want to do. You want to avoid that at all costs when having a discussion or a debate or even a disagreement with someone, especially in a professional setting, because it just creates so much tension, especially when you have to go back to that professional setting, whether it be at work or at church or, you know, whatever else that you could be, you know, you could be participating in with other people that are not your family. But, you know, families destroy each other too. I've watched that where, you know, they just attack one another. They attack each other online. No, what's it? It's another one, man, like Socratic. What is the word, man? Socratic debate? I can't remember, man. Danny is like our resident expert on all things. He's the smartest man on the planet. And he helps us out when we have guests to put their websites and information in for us, man. He's trying to get on the payroll. So I might have to take a pay cut to bring this brother on, but we appreciate it. I think, you know what I'm talking about, Danny? Right, but I'm saying what is a style of debate? I couldn't remember I thought it was began with an S, but my memory fails me. It's late at night, so if you can't remember, it's okay. So don't get personal. Obviously, this means you shouldn't put down the other person or attack his or her ideas. You shouldn't do that. And beliefs, it's not helpful or productive. Even if your goal is just to prove how right you are, then there should be no reason to attack the person. But let me say this. If your goal is to perhaps persuade the person and convince the person that maybe your viewpoint or perspective is a logical one, attacking them causes you to lose the battle every single time. attacking the person, if your goal is to just prove how right you are, then that's fine. But if your goal is to maybe persuade them to think, even move the needle in your direction, if you attack them, they'll never see it that way. And let me just in parenthetically insert that here. We saw that the other night in the presidential debates. And I don't, it doesn't really tickle my fancy one way or the other how you feel politically. But I turn off when I hear people being attacked. I got a text message from someone, some political group that was telling me all the dirt on another candidate. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't want to know it. And I know they weren't going to see my response back, but I gave them a long response back. Then I hit stop so they would stop sending me a text. Man, you know what? Okay, if it wasn't for the grace of God, all of us would fall like that. So I don't need to know all of his dirt. I don't need to know all of her dirt. I don't need you to attack the person. Just tell me what policies you stand on and why. Here's one thing that people have to remember when you're having a discussion. Before jumping right into your argument, it's best if you can preface it with something, that is disarming. Oftentimes people have a tendency to personalize things when they hear certain words or certain phrases. Here's what I mean. For example, something like, I definitely think you're on the right track in saying what we need to improve our customer response time. But if we did it this way, or what if we did it this way instead? So that's a collaborative concept. In other words, you're acknowledging the person's viewpoint. You're acknowledging what the person says. And I've had to work on this over the years, ladies and gentlemen. I have not always been CL King. Actually, hanging around Greg makes me a better person because he is Mr. Congenial. He's a great man and easy to discuss, even if you have a difference of opinion with him, except on one particular topic, which will remain nameless. I guess the second topic would be the Panthers when they're losing. So, preface it with something, that you like about the person's original statement or the person's original conversation or element or phrase. Instead of just going in, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, blah, 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 blah. And now the person is immediately on the defense and all you guys are doing is lobbing insults now at each other. Because you did not even acknowledge their viewpoint. I've had to learn that as a parent. I've been parenting for, how old am I? 45? It seems like I've been parenting for 45 years. I've been parenting for 27 years. And I was a Marine. And I was raised hard. And I've had some very rough occurrences in my life. So early on in my parenting, it was my way or the highway. And children didn't talk back. And they certainly didn't talk, let alone talk back. But as I have grown, and Greg no longer calls me Joe Jackson, as I have grown through the years, I've realized that if my kids bring something to me or if there's an idea that I may not want to go down that road, but at least I acknowledge their input before I give them why we may not be able to do that at this time. Jeremiah's going to be, that brother should run for Congress because he is a lobbyist. Last night, I was tired. I've been exhausted since pressure washing this massive driveway, y'all. I am war slam out. And Jeremiah said, hey, Dad, let's go hit some golf balls. And I'm like, I was planning on not doing my show or just saying hello to everybody and then going to bed. But you never get those moments back. And I said, okay, brother, I want you to know I'm going to do this. Let me just let you know that I'm exhausted. So we may not be able to stay out there super, super long. But why don't we do this? Why don't we turn it into a family event? And we did. And Mariah was hilarious trying to hit golf balls. And you know, that simple analogy is cute for your kids. But it's also important when you're having a discussion or a debate or even a disagreement with someone. It's important to be able to acknowledge the other person's point of view. Do you struggle with that sometimes when you're discussing or debating with people? Remember to listen. Okay, there's a trap that is all too easy to fall into when you find yourself in the middle of a disagreement. There's a trap easy to fall into. And rather than actively listening, what you find yourself is waiting for a chance to respond. You know, that's why sometimes I like debating in groups on, you know, on Facebook. I've got some groups that I'm in, and we have some interesting and spirited debates. But I get to say everything I want to say because I'm typing. And sometimes I get lazy and I just do a video to them. But when you're having a discussion or a disagreement or a debate in person, sometimes you can't just listen so that you can wait for the pause and then say what you got to say. That's just a failed strategy. It's a failed debating strategy. It's a failed discussion strategy. It's a failed disagreement strategy. You know, and you need to apply that. You need to think about that in more than just workplace or whatever. Think about that in your marriage. You know, if your spouse is bringing something to your attention that has irritated them or bothered them or something that you guys are disagreeing on, you cannot just simply listen so that you can speak. That's called hearing. You hear the noise, but you're not truly listening. Unfortunately, conversations where you're completely tuning out the other person are never productive. So, you know, this is a simple solution. Listen. And you will be able to make better points, and your points will be able to be better received if you have digested the points of the individual. You might be surprised. You could end up finding an even better solution if you listened. I can tell you this, I listen to people that are different from me in a whole bunch of ways, different from me socially, different from me religiously. I listen to a lot of people, and I do that because I have to give out a lot of information to a diverse group of people. And in doing such, I've realized, and at 45 years old, I've realized that some of the things that I held so vigilantly at 25, I was wrong. You know, and I was wrong for criticizing people for evolving or enhancing their viewpoints when they got older. Oh, they're a flip-flopper. No, maybe they did more listening. You ever thought about that? Maybe they listened more and it helped enhance their viewpoint. Listening is powerful, ladies and gentlemen. Use I statements. Okay, we're on point number 5. I'm going to let y'all go a little early tonight so I can get into bed. Unless Greg's paying me overtime today. Of course, we do have a guest coming up this coming Thursday. I think we'll be talking about financial management. Isn't that right, Greg? So use I statements. Watch this one, which is one of the statements. Which I want you to listen to these statements and tell me which one sounds more harsh. Which statement sounds more harsh, and which statement sounds like something you have said? You always come up with these big ideas so close to the deadline that you only make things harder for everybody else. Now, that's statement number one. The statement says, you always come up with these big ideas so close to the deadline that you only make things harder for everybody else. That's statement number one. Statement number two says, I see where you're coming from, but I am concerned we might be getting too close to the deadline for major changes. First statement says, you always come up with these big ideas so close to the deadline that you only make things harder for everybody. What has that person done? What have you done to that person? You have immediately put them on defense. You attacked them because you said you. You always. Isn't that called a superlative when you say always, even though it may not be always? You always come up with these big ideas so close to the deadline. Or the second statement could say, I see where you're coming from, but I am concerned we might be getting too close to the deadline for changes. See, chances are the first one made you recoil, made you cringe a little bit hearing that one. This example is an adequate representation of why it's best to use I statements instead of you statements when you're in a debate or when you're a disagreement or when you're in a discussion. It's just another subtle way to illustrate that your disagreement isn't about a personal attack. You know, I've come up in religious circles for years. Faith is a very large part of my life. And I've even had to rethink how I approach others who may not be of my faith. That doesn't change what I believe about my faith. But I can't make it my platform to diminish and attack theirs all the time. Because I wouldn't want someone doing that to me. Effectively disagreeing isn't always about sugarcoating things, okay? So sometimes you got to be straightforward and sometimes you got to be direct, and that's okay too. But making even a small effort to soften your language can make a big difference in how your message is received. And I will tell you this. I want you to know that typing is different than speaking. Typing and debating is so much different than speaking and debating. See, typing, you can't hear inflection, you can't see facial expression, you can't see anything or feel anything. You're left with a raw blank canvas for you to interpret. Typing is not one of the best ways to debate or disagree, because you can be misinterpreted. You know, you can be, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean it that way. Well, it is really, really, unless you know the person well, it is really, really important not to get into a debate through typing or get into a discussion or disagreement through typing. Because you're going to go on this long tirade. They're going to go on this long tirade. All you're doing is just each of you volleying back and forth your points. And there's no agreement. There's no reconciliation. And then the last point is you got to know when to move on in a discussion, man. There's some people and some circumstances and some conversations that will not move in one direction or another. The cliche catchphrase, you know, about, you know, we can agree to disagree. That's a real statement, but you got to know when to be able to do that. You got to be able to know when to say, I'm not attacking you. I'm not going to belittle you, but I'm also convinced and persuaded in my position. We can't find a nexus or a meeting point for us to reconcile. And so let's just leave it at that. And I'm telling you, that is a skill in and of itself. You can try to get someone to see your political position, and if they don't want to see it, they will turn you off. And instead of winning a discussion, and instead of winning a discussion, you lose a friend. You know, you may win a discussion for a moment, but you're going to lose a friend for a lifetime. And that's where we are as a nation. I really do feel, you know, we are at a place as a nation where it's not just about our points of view. It's not just about how we feel. But these elements that we're bringing to the table are causing people to lose friendships and causing people to just, you know, draw the line in the sand and say, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. This is not, we're so much better than this. I think we're better than this as a country. We're better than this as people, as human beings. It's important for us to treat one another with decency and kindness, even when we don't agree. And I can tell you this, man, there are many times where I've had to reevaluate how I have said something. There's been many times where I've had to eat humble pie and even apologize because I thought I was right. And just because I was right didn't mean I was righteous. And so Thursday night, we have Adam Persky, financial advisor with Legacy Private Client Services, LLC. And we're going to be discussing finances. You know, finances are such an important part, an integral part of what we have going on right now, that you need to be able to manage your money. Okay, you can't manage time, but you certainly can manage money. So please tune in for that. Share that show and the information with someone. That would really be helpful to us if you could let someone know that maybe looking to make some financial moves. This is the show that you want to tune into. It's going to be a great show with Adam Persky, and he's a great financial advisor. And I'm looking forward to discussing finances in the midst of COVID, finances in the midst of unrest, finances in the midst of unease and tenuous times. We need to discuss it. And I'm happy to tell you that with the help of God and the help of my wife, we were ahead of these things. So you've seen these things have not changed our op tempo. But for many people, they have. And many people, they've been impacted greatly and dramatically by these things. And so we're going to deal with that. Adam Persky, this coming Thursday, financial advisor with Legacy Private Client Services, LLC. And what I really want to do is unearth some strategies that people can have with these uncertain times. You know, what if you've lost your job? You know, what can you do while you wait on what you want to do? You know, what are some strategies that you can do? What can you do to pandemic-proof your finances? You know, that's a very, very important thing to know. You want to position yourself in such a way that you pandemic-proof your finances. And so Adam Persky is going to be joining us this coming Thursday on Impacting Life 24/7. I hope just in this short little show tonight that we're preparing our hearts and minds to have a mature discussion. October 12th, we're going to be discussing race relations in America. And I'm bringing six other people with me to discuss it. And we're going to open up for questions. You can submit your questions now. You can submit your questions live during the show. You can submit your questions afterwards. But I think we need to have a discussion. And it doesn't need to be where we go to our prospective coroners and come out swinging. It needs to be that we're going to discuss this and look for tangible ways to help make our communities better, to help make our schools better, to help make situations better for humanity to dwell amongst each other. All right, so great show tonight in terms of just setting the stage for us to be able to discuss or debate, but not to destroy. All right, I hope that you have a great night. We'll talk to you Thursday right here on Impacting Life 24/7.